Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Later on, I'll be speaking to Peter Jackson. No, not the famous Lord of the Rings director, but a horticulturist with a lifetime's experience. My thanks to YouGarden, sponsors of this podcast. My news this week includes the winners of the Ruxley Rose Award at the Garden Centre Association annual conference. The Ruxley Rose Award is the one that I watch very closely. All members of the Garden Centre Association, you see it with the logo GCA at those centres that are members. They're all inspected once a year at least and have to come up to a certain standard to be able to use that GCA symbol. They also have to guarantee all the hardy plants they sell, guarantee that they will grow. And as part of the inspection that these independent inspectors carry out, the whole cross-section of the garden centre operation is pointed. And so when it comes to the plant area, that's pointed for all kinds of reasons: plant quality, plant health, range, size, value for money, all those kinds of things. And then they have the Ruxley Rose Award for two garden centres that have the best plants in the country. And I say two awards because there's one for the more modest sized garden centres, those with a turnover up to 4 million, and those with a larger turnover. And the two winners this year were Cowles up in the northeast. That wasn't a surprise. I mean, they win this award time and again. Fantastic plants people they are. And then down in Essex, winning for the second time, is Perrywood Garden Centre at Tiptree. So my congratulations to all the people involved, not only on those centres, but also the runners-up. It's a really tough job, keeping plants in really good order, standing upright, clean, well-labelled for the 365 days of the year. So congratulations, folk. I need to tell you, too, that March the 1st is the deadline for applications from people wanting to take up the two-year apprenticeship at RHS Gardens. There are 16 spaces, and they take apprentices at Wisley, Hyde Hall, Hollow Car, Rosemore, and the new garden centre that's being built. Perhaps I should say new old, because it's an estate garden that's being completely renovated at Bridgewater, up near Manchester. Actually, the Bridgewater new garden, we hear, will open to the public on the 30th of July. Yeah, they've spent millions up there, and they tell me it's very impressive. I'll try and get up before it opens. And the day after is the Royal Horticultural Society's annual general meeting. So there are two special days there, 30th and 31st of July. One day they open, and the next day it's the AGM, when they'll be voting in a new president. The incoming president looks as if he's going to be Keith Weed. Now, it seems quite a remarkable name. I mean, we had a former director called Jim Gardner, and now we're going to have a president, Keith Weed. My apologies, Keith, but I had to smile. Seems so appropriate. Now, when it comes to advice in the garden, I bumped into a lady who said, are you going to do another one of those pruning workshops? Last year, on a Saturday morning at the local school, we had a workshop on pruning in their mini orchard. The trees had been pretty neglected for a long time. Some of them leant like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and we needed to get them staked, pulled upright and securely tied. And of course, pruning an overgrown tree is quite tricky. And this lady really made my day by saying it was the highlight of her year, being shown how to prune. Would we be doing something like that again? And I think we might. Not only the pruning, but I think we might have a bit of a go at grafting. These hands-on practical skills that many of us have been in the business for a long time take for granted are not being passed on. And so that might be an opportunity for me to do that. I do notice at home that some of the begonias that I've saved that were dried and are in trays under the office desk, actually, are just starting to shoot. And so I may start potting some of those up now. If I pot them, of course, I need to keep them free from frost until well into May. So I mustn't pot too many too soon. But if you pot them early and you've got a bit of space on the windowsill that's light and warm, then, of course, they'll be in flower by May. If you've got a heated greenhouse or a conservatory that's frost-free, then you can get dahlias going too. Just pot up the dahlia tubers, and when they start to make shoots, then that's the perfect material for cutting. Dahlia cuttings need to be quite young. If they're more than 2 or 3 inches tall, then the stems get very hollow, and it's difficult to get them to root. Little short cuttings, cut quite low, will have a solid base, and that will root much easier. You need to look carefully, because if you cut low enough to have that solid base to get it to root easily, but leave just a pair of leaf scars just below your cut, then two more cuttings will come from where you've cut off the first. That might sound a bit difficult, but if you actually start to pot a tuber up, get it to grow, and then re-listen to what I'm saying, I think you'll see. 2 to 3 inches, run your eye down, very close to the base, but two little tiny bracty bits you leave behind, and then you'll get two more cuttings come from where you've cut. What's on? Well, the British Irish Society have their early spring show at Wisley on the 8th of February. And then at Wisley they've got the next day a course on lawn care. So two reasons to go to Wisley. Just hope the traffic's not too bad on the M25 for you.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Come to Brunt Level, it's free.
My interview guest today is a long-term friend, Peter Jackson, recently retired from Scottsdale's Garden Centre in Cambridge, and I think quite regularly heard on the local radio. Is that correct, Peter? You're just a bit out.
That's
you're a bit
correct.
Out of my region, but that's no excuse, is it?
No, no excuse now. But it's very correct. I go on quite regularly on the local radio.
Yeah, Peter. You know, how did you get into it? I mean, because as far as I was concerned, you've just always been at Scottsdale.
Well, yes. I mean, I started my love of horticulture at a very early age with the great thanks of a wonderful grandmother who used to kind of look after me in my younger days and gave me a little plot of garden to sow seed and dig holes and do what we do. And the love carried on. And it was lucky enough to be in the very early days of the garden centres. And I well remember a careers officer saying to me, "There's no career in that, lad. There's no career." yet I had over 50 wonderful years at the garden centre. And like you and other horticulturists, you know, over the decades, I've seen such tremendous changes. And I've loved every minute of it, and I can honestly say that.
You would have been alongside David Rayner.
Yes.
We have got some wonderful characters in this business, haven't we?
We've got a lot of wonderful characters, and a lot of them aren't recognised enough, in my estimation.
Yeah. I mean, he's only happy when he's sitting in a big digger. I mean, how old are you? He must be
91, 92, something like that now.
And still driving a combine and still digging.
Still doing his bit.
Now, one of the reasons I was very keen to speak to you today, Peter, is that I heard, sadly, the news that Lawrence Flatman has just died.
Yes.
A great friend of mine, and I think an even greater friend of yours.
Yes, I got on exceedingly well with Lawrence. The first time I met him would be the late 1960s. And from then on until, well, very recently, very, very best of friends and colleagues. And one of the few people I can call an absolute true friend.
He started with Alan Bloom immediately from school, as I recall it. And I think Alan was a bit casual about this young whippersnapper's arrival and said he'd give him a week's trial or something. And apart from national service, rather like you, he worked there for the rest of his life.
That's right. And, you know, kind of looking back, you know, over the decades he worked there, the changes he must have seen in horticulture. You know, from the early days of when you grew the plants through the growing season, dispatched them through the autumn and the winter in bare root form, to what it was when he left, where it was dispatching 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year.
Yeah, and pretty well everything in containers.
That's right.
You know, he started with everything in the field or in small clay pots and...
Yep.
And then saw that tremendous change.
That's right. I mean, we started with the word seasons. And, well, you know, there hardly isn't a season now that we're not planting or dispatching plants.
Now, Lawrence, as well as working on the Bloom's nurseries at Bressingham in Diss, he went out to the garden centre industry and I think actually came to you, didn't he, at weekends?
Yes. We had many wonderful weekends with Lawrence, weekends and bank holidays, and he was an absolute gem. Although he probably travelled the furthest to get to the garden centre, he was always the first one to arrive. He'd walk the garden centre, and any plant that was laid down, he would stand up. Any plant that needed watering, he would water. If it was in the wrong position, he would replace it. He was a plantsman through and through.
Yeah, and a really lovely, gentle countryman, wasn't he?
Yes. Very softly spoken, had wonderful knowledge, which he would help anyone. He didn't suffer fools gladly, you know, but, you know, who does? But he would help anyone, and he could hold his own anywhere. I was lucky enough to attend many trade shows in England and in Holland with Lawrence, and everyone seemed to know him.
Yeah.
It didn't matter where you went, they all knew Lawrence.
And so did you actually go to Dutch nurseries with him then?
Yes, we used to go over at least once a year, and we used to walk the nurseries to look at the quality and the availability and everything else. And Lawrence was always there with his little camera and his notebook. And a wonderful story, you probably know in Holland, the huge hectares of nursery, both under glass and outside. But they always seem to have radios playing this rather loud music. And Lawrence wasn't very keen on this, really. And he always used to make it his goal to seek out the radio and turn it off. And the remarkable thing was, all the workers and people around the nurseries never even noticed it.
No,
you know, you'd think the music would go off and there'd be, you know, upturned heads and raised eyebrows. But, you know, they just carried on working as if, well, as if nothing had happened.
Almost as eccentric as the late Alan Bloom, because I remember Lawrence telling me that in the early days, at the end of a working day, Alan would go into the waste paper baskets to find envelopes that he tore open to use as scrap paper,
right,
and stubs of pencils that he would reclaim. So Lawrence was sort of brought up under, shall we say, an economical regime.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, Alan wasn't easy, but Lawrence was alongside him all the time, wasn't
he? All the time. And you know, spent many, many happy hours with Lawrence and his lovely wife, Doreen, you know, talking about past experiences. And I think that the beauty with Lawrence, it was true knowledge. It was to hand. He'd done it. You know, it wasn't learnt from textbooks or CDs or all these YouTubes and things like that. It was actual hands-on knowledge, you know, which, you know, in the industry at the moment is becoming greatly missed.
He won't be forgotten in that we have the Hardy geranium named after him.
Absolutely. Geranium cinerarium Lawrence Flatman.
Yeah.
A beautiful plant. A funny story, he was at the plant information centre at Scottsdale's one weekend and I was with him. And this lovely lady came into the information centre holding two of his geraniums. And she didn't know who she was talking to and Lawrence didn't let on. And she asked, how is the best to look after this plant? And with that wonderful smile of Lawrence's, he just said to the lady, Mr. Flatman likes a dry, warm bed, a little food and water as required, and left to do the things that he wants to do. And the lady looked at him and said, that sounds ideal, and went off holding her two plants.
Oh, what a great story.
Well, yes, I mean, he was a great, great character. Had been a many lovely days with him, even in the latter years after he was retired and became ill. I used to visit with old nursery catalogues and we got a 1929 Hardy plant, an Alpine list from the old nursery of Ingleworson. And, you know, looking through that catalogue and looking at some of the Blooms catalogues, which I still have, of 1974 and things like that, many of those varieties still in there. And he knew the people. He knew, you know, the Percy Pipers and the Morris Pritchards and Morris Mason, William Robinson, you know, people like that. He was absolutely au fait with.
Well, you mentioned Morris Pritchard. Of course, he was almost a mirror image for some years at Bressingham to Lawrence, wasn't he, the two of them?
Exactly. I think, you know, Morris tended to do the herbaceous perennials and Lawrence did the Alpines.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'd sort of half forgotten that until I sit here talking to you about it. Yeah. How often did he come to Scottsdale then, doing those weekends?
Oh, for a good few years, you know, until his health kind of took a dip a bit and things like that. And then he very reluctantly stepped back. But we still kept in communication. You know, I'd visit him, he'd come and visit me, stay the weekends. You know, we've had many, many lovely times together.
You know, I remember him, of course, on the Bloom's herbaceous exhibits at Chelsea.
Yes. And
then working with Adrian, of course, when conifers were introduced in some quantity.
Yes, I mean, I think, he was so open-minded. He took change as it came. He didn't always agree with it, but you know, as we said, over the last decades, many, many changes. But Lawrence embraced them. He didn't always agree with them, but he gave it his best. And you know, whether you spoke to him about, you know, the conifers, the herbaceous, the alpines, whatever. I mean, you know, he knew an awful lot, but he was very certain. If you asked him a question he didn't know, he would admit it, but he would go out and find the answer.
And that's the true sign of a good source of information, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I like those people who say, I don't know.
Yes.
Then you can trust pretty well everything that comes from them from that point onwards.
It's impossible for anyone to know it all. But he knew an awful lot, which was wonderful, but he also knew his limits and he admitted them.
And he was never really recognised or honoured. I mean, you know, there's the Royal Horticultural Society honours. He deserved to be remembered in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we've lost a wonderful character, a wonderful friend, a wonderful plantsman. You know, you can go on. It's just a very, very, very sad time. Horticulture and the plants people will miss him. But as you say, we're very lucky to have his geranium. And like you and many other people within horticulture have so many wonderful memories of him.
Yes. And Peter, we won't forget him.
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you fairly soon.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
My thanks to this week's sponsor, Yew Garden, and of course my producer, Rich Jarman. And to you for listening. All being well, we'll be back next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.